How come when I come here, I feel like I'm listening to the radio? Jeff and I have been friends for a long time, and I appreciate his strong Christian stand in the media. And first of all, I'm really thankful to be invited here to do this. I know you folks are careful about who has the privilege of standing in this place. And I am honored that for whatever reason, I was chosen to do this right now. Now, you know what I'm going to do. You better have your Bibles ready and open to Ephesians chapter 1, the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I've spent endless hours in David Jones's Bible class. A man taught me to love the Scriptures, and it amazes me how much he knows about the Scripture. And I eagerly listened as much as I could, as best I could. And one Sunday morning, about 8 o'clock Sunday morning, nobody calls anybody at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, but my phone rang. I assumed it was some kind of an emergency. David Jones was sick. And he called me and asked me to stand in for him. I was a nervous wreck. But I really was very much complimented that I had a chance to fill in for David. What I'm doing is what you are doing, is trying to find my place in Scripture. Now, remember, I'm a new guy, which means I don't know how long I'm supposed to be up here. After about an hour and a half, wave. No heckling. I'm nervous enough. I just but I love the promises of Scripture. And the more I dig deep into the promises of Scripture, it gives me so much encouragement. In my opinion, right now, my next birthday is 80. I'm getting up there. Not as old as Dave, but I'm up there. But what I'm saying is that I think this is the most exciting time in my lifetime to be a follower of Jesus. And as I search the Scriptures and see what's going on and around the world, I keep looking up. I won't get on that. I have given you time to find Ephesians chapter 1. Now what I'm going to do is give you about three illustrations. Because once you grasp these illustrations, I'll be able to refer back to them as I go through Ephesians chapter 1. First illustration. When Rachel and I came over here a few minutes ago, we traveled in a standard, ordinary, regular, internal combustion engine in our car. We have depended on our car for years. It has worked for years, but I have no idea how an internal combustion engine works. There are people in this room that know what a carburetor is. And that's not me. I don't know what it is. You pay for it for a long time. You put a key in it and start it. And occasionally put some gas in it. And it works. I do not understand it. If it was dependent upon me to explain how an internal combustion engine worked, we wouldn't be here. Second illustration. In my lifetime, there has been an awful lot of developments in technology. I got a truck recently that is equipped with, are you ready for this? Bluetooth technology. I don't know what Bluetooth technology is. Have not the foggiest idea how it works. But here's what I do know. I can be driving through and punch a button on my dashboard and call my wife. And I don't have, she comes through on the radio, on the speaker on the dashboard. In fact, I even have two different numbers I can call her depending on where to punch. I have not the foggiest idea of how Bluetooth technology works. However, I benefit from it even though I don't understand it. Here comes another one. We have two sons. Both are in their 50s. One of them has gray in his beard. Makes you feel old when your kids have gray hair. When they were born into our family, it was a very big deal for us. But they didn't know anything. They didn't know anything about what it meant to be a kinder. They didn't even know if their mom and dad were married. They didn't know if we were rich or poor. They didn't care if we were rich or poor. All they cared about is that they got their food and change and sleep and food and change and you know the deal. Everybody that's had new children in the home know that they tend to have a way of dominating what all is going on around the room. Watch this. As they grew, they got acquainted with us. As they grew, they became more aware of our standing in the community and in church. As they grew, they got more aware of whether or not we were rich or poor. But watch this. Don't miss this point. When they were born in the family, they didn't know biddly squat about what it meant to be a kinder. And I'm about to make the point that verse 3 of Ephesians 1 could possibly be one of the most important verses in all of the New Testament for those of us who are believers in Christ. Look what that verse says. I'm got it in my head. By the way, I recommend you have it in your head too. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have I got it right so far? You follow me? I'm quoting King James. It's what Pastor Jones told me to do. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Is that what it says? Okay, there's two words that I want to tell you in that verse that to me make a world of difference. The first verse is H-A-T-H, hath. That's past tense. Now, wait a minute. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. That's past tense. In other words, we're already blessed. Whether we know it or not, or whether we understand it or not, we have been blessed because we are in Christ Jesus. Okay, the second word in that verse that makes it so special is that word, all. Wait a minute. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Really? What follows is a laundry list of blessings. That clock is pretty fast, and I don't have time to explain all the blessings that are just in Ephesians chapter 1 And I don't know I can do it because I don't understand them all. But what I want you to see in Ephesians 1, if you are in Christ, if you have received Christ as Savior, if you have admitted that you are a sinner and in need of a Savior, and if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins, He will save you. He promised. I got it in writing in my Bible. He promised. For if anyone be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, all things are passed away. All things are new. Remember that part? So the responsibility I have is to get myself born into the family. When I get born into the family, then I receive all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, that's comforting to know. I don't know how Bluetooth technology works. Neither do I understand how this works. Because what we're going to see is blessings from the Father first. Don't laugh at me, I'm old. I had to print out in bigger letters Ephesians 1 so I can see it better. So I got that right here. Here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 4, the first verse following. Verse 4 says this: according as he hath chosen us, he chose us. John 15:16, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I don't understand the theology. But what I do know is I am in Christ. What this says, according, verse 4, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Say what? He chose us before the foundation of the world? How did he do that? Here's the good news. You don't have to understand it. Your responsibility is to receive Christ. Your responsibility is to make sure you are in Christ. And you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's more. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. I'm not a theologian. I've been teaching Bible classes since the dormitories at West Virginia University in 1963. And I don't understand predestination. I don't understand how he lays out the boundaries. I don't understand that. But here's what I do understand. My Bible says I have it. And I choose to trust the words of my scripture. I choose to trust the promises of God. That's another thing that my Father has done for me. Look at verse 6. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In other words, he knew we were going to be in need of a Savior. He knew that we would have trouble living a life by his standard, not ours. And our standard and his standard is completely different. And what he has done, according to verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, he hath made us acceptable or accepted in the Beloved. Now, remember my Bluetooth technology statement? Have no idea how that works. Have no idea how this works either. I haven't been to theological seminary. Did I say cemetery or seminary? I haven't been there, but here's what my Bible says. It's not what I have done, it's what He has done for me. Now, we have things that God the Father hath done for us. It gets better. I mean, it gets better and better, and that clock is moving quicker and quicker, and I got to move it on. Because next thing you're going to see is the things that God the Son has done for us. I'm looking at, where am I? Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, through the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have been redeemed. There's a footnote in my Bible that talks about the word redeemed. This is the only Greek I know. And I probably don't say it right. But the word redeemed comes from three Greek words. Agorazo means to buy in the marketplace. When you go to a car dealership and you buy a car, that's agorazo. You buy it. You pay the price for that automobile in a marketplace. But in the word redeemed is the term ex agorazo. What that means is you can choose never to be sold in the marketplace again. If you like that car so much and the tires wear out, you can put it up on cinder blocks and park in your yard. I don't care if anybody wants it. It's yours. Do with it what you want. The price has been paid for that car. That's what Jesus did for me. In Him I live and move and have my being. I am redeemed. He performed agorazo on Calvary's cross. Ex agorazo, He gave me the Holy Spirit, indwelling Holy Spirit, to keep me, watch my term right here, to keep me from being chained to sin again. Yes, I sin. As long as I am on this side of heaven, we sin and come short of the glory of God. But then the third word in redemption is lutro, go free. Whoa. That's what He's done for me. He paid the price for my salvation. He gave me His Holy Spirit to guide, direct, and lead me and beat me up when I am out of His will. And then He tells me to go free. Did I get on the sidetrack? I want to get back to verse 7. I'm full of it. Verse 7 says, look at it. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. How rich is He? How much is there to draw from? He is a better Savior than I am a sinner. He is Lord, He has died a death, and His blood cleanses me from all sin. I love this. This is my soap verse. What do you use soap for? To clean up? This is my soap verse. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from what? Oh, you've heard that word too. He cleanses from all unrighteousness. Well, that's what verse 7 is referring to, but we're not done. Look at verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Oh, really? That's telling me that if I ask of God, he will show me his will. It just could be. It just could be that my appointment in this spot right now is right in the center of God's will. It could be this is a divine appointment. Some of you didn't even know I was going to be here. And if you known I was going to be here and have a guest speaker, you might have not even come to church. But for whatever reason you're here, and for whatever reason I'm here, and for whatever reason I'm in Ephesians 1, because I believe this is where God would have me to be right now. Verse 11. Still, blessings from the Son, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Don't understand that either. I don't understand what it means. But watch this. Go back to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Forgive me if I sound like a broken record. I don't have to understand how this works. The only requirement I have is to be in Christ. By the way, well, I'm not going to go there right now. The clock's moving. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That's a very interesting, if you do a word study there about the inheritance, it's like he, again, I'm out of school on this one, but it's like he is going to present us to the Father as his inheritance of what he achieved while he was here. But you can follow that up in your own personal time. Now to me, verse 13 is really powerful. And if you haven't looked at this and studied it and thought of it, whoa, this is good, particularly in times like these. I bet Jeff knows a song about like that, in times like these. Moving on. Verse 13, look what it says. In whom also ye trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is amazing. You talk about security when the Holy Spirit of promise seals you in that special cocoon to hold you and protect you and keep you, particularly in times like this. My Bible tells me that I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that comforting to think? Isn't that comforting to know? Now it gets better. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. I'm going to do another illustration right here. Suppose I have a car for sale. Have it in my driveway and put up a sign and people go by. Jeff comes by and says, nice car. Like to have that. Dan comes by and says, nice car. Like to have that. But Dave comes by and says, nice car, I'd like to have that, and here's $1,000 down. I'll be back a little later with the rest of the asking price. Ah, who am I going to take seriously? The guy that put down the money, the earnest money. That's the thought right there. The Holy Spirit. What's it say in verse 13, 14? Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Wait. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is holding us in place, protecting us, sealing us, securing us until that day when He comes back with the whole package. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Is that what your Bible says? Do you realize our promise, the promises of God are out of this world? Do you realize that we have an amazing future because we are in Christ? How's all that going to work? I don't know. But what I have learned to do is trust my Bible, believe my Bible, focus on my Bible. The fact that the Holy Spirit of God has sealed me is like He's put me in a little package to protect me until I am transformed into the presence of God. It says here, verse 14, now look at it again. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest, what I gave you an illustration about earnest money. The presence of the Holy Spirit sealing us is like earnest money on what's coming. It's like we haven't gotten the whole amount yet. We just got the earnest because sooner than later, we're going to go get the rest of the package that God has prepared for us. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Word has it that Jesus is coming soon. Word has it in 2 Timothy 3 says this. It's a laundry list of ugly things that you don't want to have in the neighbor. You don't be too close to those people. They're weird. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just finished studying on that. It talks about this world is going to get darker and darker and more difficult for those of us who are followers of Jesus. And then 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Don't go there on my time. Take my word for it. Look at it afterward. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Says, unless there is a falling away first. He will not come as a thief in the night. There's a falling away first. visit churches and look how many empty seats. My title is Disaster Pastor. When they can't find anybody else and they go down a list of 40 people and nobody can come, they call me. And when I get there, you know what I am? I become a preacher to empty seats. Because there is a falling away first. And Jesus said in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, when you see these things begin to happen, you know that part about nation shall rise against nation and there'll be pestilence and earthquakes and all this ugly list of things all around us happening? When these things begin to happen, Jesus said, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. If that's not good news in your Bible, then you're not in Christ. But if you're in Christ, that is incredible news. You should memorize that portion of Scripture. We need to live in this world with a sound mind a little bit longer, not much. Thinking these thoughts, dwelling on these promises, will change everything. Don't you dare be discouraged. I purposely said it at the beginning, and now I'm going to say it near the end. This is by far the most exciting time I have ever experienced in my lifetime to be a follower of Jesus. The world's going to go its way, but I am going His way till the end. And I want to encourage you to do that also. For if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I'm looking at the clock. I know I'm running out of time. 2 Corinthians 5:17, watch this. You've heard me say it now 3 times. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away and all things have become. The very next verse says, as you have been reconciled to God, you have a ministry of reconciliation. Did you know you're in the ministry? You need to be about helping others learn about the promises of God and the hope that they can find in Christ. And you know what the next verse says? You have been given the word of reconciliation. This old worn-out Bible tells me what I need to know about that reconciliation process if I know it and trust it. You know what the next verse says? I know this stuff. I look at it from time to time. The very next verse says, you're an ambassador. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador lives in a foreign land representing the king or the president. Duh. That's who we are. That's what we do. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I believe I have delivered unto you that which God would have me share. What you do with it is between you and God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these people who gather in this place right now. Have no idea what kind of burdens that they are carrying as they walk into this room, Father, but you know. You know their needs. You know their life circumstances. You know, Father, whether they are in Christ or not. And now, Father, we pray your blessing upon this effort. We pray your blessing upon these people And if there's someone here that is not sure they are in Christ, I pray your Holy Spirit will trouble them and draw them into the family of God. Amen.